Our scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Luke 19, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not see because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to Jesus, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Father, would you please bless this time of your preached word? Lord, would you draw all of us to yourself? Even if there are those in our midst who have yet to profess faith in Christ, may this be the hour, Lord, that you would call them to yourself. Help us to listen well. Take away, Lord, anything that would be distracting us. The busyness of our lives, the hurts of this life. Help us, Lord, now to be at peace, to be still, and to know that you are God. We thank you for this and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. During the Advent season, we're seeking to answer a very simple question. Why is it that Christ came? Why did Christ come? If you were asked that question tomorrow at work or by a neighbor or by the man or woman who cuts your hair, why did Christ come? What is the answer you would give them? What would you say? How comfortable would you be saying it? There are many ways I'm sure that you would respond to that question. But the way we are going to look at it over these next few weeks is by looking at the exact words Jesus spoke when he said, "This is why I have come." And in this very passage, you see it in the last verse of Luke's narrative. Jesus says in verse 10 of chapter 19, "For the Son of Man came, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That's the gospel. That is the good news, that Christ came pursuing us, seeking us, that we might be saved, that we might be rescued. That is the essential message of Christmas. It's the most important message that the world needs to hear. And that is how you answer, through Jesus' own words, the reason why Christ came. I had the great privilege of preaching this message on Wednesday night over at Golden Gate Missionary Baptist Church, a congregation that we enjoy doing things with occasionally. I had the privilege of meeting with their senior pastor, Vincent Parker. We try to once a month. And it's a rich relationship. I had the great privilege of taking this text and preaching to them on a Wednesday night prayer gathering. It's a great season to be in the midst of their body as they're seeking to proclaim the good news of Jesus. But their congregation responds differently than our congregation. Not better, not worse, just different culturally. So much so that when you're preaching, they're going to make their comments then. They're not going to wait and send you an email. They're simply going to talk to you during the message. For example, even before I got up, as Vincent Parker was praying, the man next to me who said he would be praying for me just kept saying, "Pray, Pastor, pray, Pastor, pray, Pastor." And he said it out loud, and I loved it. And then when I began to preach, and I was moving through this text, showing them what I believe this text means, there were moments when they would shout amen or hallelujah. Then occasionally someone would say, "Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it." And I said it. And then he said it. You know, there's nothing wrong with making noise when you sense the Lord leading you to celebrate. I am never going to try to manipulate you or to move you to a place that you wouldn't want to be. But I also would be foolish to say, if someone shouts amen or hallelujah, that it's inappropriate for our congregation. If you feel that way, really, really, I got to challenge you. Take that before the Lord and see what He says. There is a big body of Christ, and there's so many ways for us to respond. The good news of Jesus Christ always, always should be met with a joyful response. When you understand the significance of what Jesus is saying here at the end of this rescue of Zacchaeus, you begin to get it. A man's life was saved. And as the body of Christ, when that happens, when we witness baptism, when we witness a large number of people saying, yes, I have a story of rescue and I want to be in this church to tell it, we should rejoice. It's beautiful. It's also very appropriate to remember it in times of deep sorrow in which a body like ours is going to go through. And in fact, we're in right now. This last month has been a very, very painful month in our church. There has been much loss, much death, and it's been very painful. Two of our covenant children have died in the last few weeks. Christy LaRash in her early 20s died just before Thanksgiving. And then last Tuesday night, 16-year-old Colin Stone was killed in that horrific car accident. We're mourning as a body. Taylor and Jennifer Stone, his parents, are experiencing what you as a parent or grandparent hope you will never have to experience. It's painful to watch, but they are not mourning without hope. And tomorrow at 1 o'clock, right here in this sanctuary, his memorial service will take place. And I imagine it will be full of people who are asking questions. Why questions? Why did Christ come? Christ came to not give us a simple comfort through nice statements. He came and died to conquer death so that death is not the final. For those who profess faith in Christ, there's that salvation, that forward-looking hope that we will never hunger and thirst or experience death and loneliness of death again. And so the message of Christmas, the message of this text, that this is why Christ came, is so important for us to truly believe and embrace at the deepest level of our hearts. This passage teaches us so much about the good news of Christ. So look at it with me. The first thing I want you to note is that Zacchaeus is so much like us. Zacchaeus, in his life, bought into the idea that power and wealth is essentially what would make him ultimately happy. Power and wealth. So through the means of being a tax collector, he became a very wealthy man and a very powerful man. Because of the way in which he accumulated his wealth, he was despised. He was not liked by many. But he had money and he had power. Two very dangerous things. Especially when you cling to them as if this is your salvation and this is your identity. But something was happening behind the scenes in Zacchaeus' life. Jesus had entered into his ministry, into his 3 years of proclaiming the good news of himself, of Christ. Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. It wasn't simply that he was interested, though that's probably what he thought. The Spirit of God was moving in him behind the scene. And so Zacchaeus begins to move forward to see the real Jesus. You see it here in verse 3. Luke tells us Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he had a barrier. The barrier that's mentioned is that he is small, short. It's a physical limitation. But it's not the only barrier mentioned. The other barrier mentioned is the crowd. The crowd. How often does the crowd keep us from seeing the real Jesus? Tim Keller says, if you want to see the real Jesus, you often have to climb above the crowd to see who he really is. And who is the crowd here? Well, in the mix of all the people present, it's the religious people. And how often do the religious people, how often do those who attend church regularly, how often does the Bible Belt and those who profess faith in Christ but really don't mean it that much, how often do they make up a crowd that then becomes a barrier for people seeing the real Jesus? It's often. And what is it that is so troubling to those who really want to see something of the real Jesus, but instead they see the mess of hypocrisy and real people saying, I believe one thing, but live another? Some of you have had to climb above the crowd to see the real Jesus. Some of you are here today, perhaps for the first time, and you need to climb above the crowd and see the real Jesus. But we all together have the temptation of being a crowd that could keep people from seeing the real Jesus. What is it that people need to see when they see us and our faith? What they need to see is a deep belief in everything that Jesus said. But what happens is we take and choose pieces of what Jesus said and treat him as a sprinkling or a seasoning that we would sprinkle on our life to have a little bit of a flavor of Christ and certainly the hope of eternal life. But that's not what Christ came for. Christ came to have all of us. Christ came to save all of us. The good news is that he came to seek and to save the lost. So Zacchaeus climbs above the crowd to see the real Jesus. And what is it that he sees? This is amazing. As Zacchaeus climbs up in the tree to see the real Jesus, as he's seeking to see Jesus, he realizes that Jesus is seeking to see him. Jesus is pursuing him. As Jesus is coming down that road and Zacchaeus climbs up high in the tree, there Christ comes towards him. That's the essence of Christianity. It's God pursuing his people. And what he does behind the scenes is he begins to give his people a desire to see him. And then suddenly you realize, he's pursuing me. That's remarkable that a God would seek his own people who are not deserving, who are not beautiful, but are sinners. The crowd got it right. Zacchaeus was a sinner, a nasty, nasty man, just like all of us. But Christ is coming. When Zacchaeus sees him, Jesus speaks to him. I want you to notice the second word that Jesus says to him. Look with me in verse 5. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, hurry. Interesting. Zacchaeus, hurry. We live in a world that's full of a fast pace. And I'm not condoning that we should live at that kind of pace. But when it comes to spiritual things, and the Lord is drawing us to himself, and he's calling us towards repentance, we should run towards him and away from sin fast. We should hurry. And so the Lord says, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down. I must stay at your house today. Now look at how Zacchaeus responds. Verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Jesus did not demand that from him. In the chapter before, in Luke 18, we have the account of the rich young ruler. Jesus told the rich young ruler, you still lack one thing. Go and sell all your possessions and come follow me. Well, how did the rich young ruler leave? What does it say? He was what? Sad. Sad. Not Zacchaeus. You see the text right here. Verse 6. So he, Zacchaeus, hurried and came down and received him. What's it say? Joyfully. Zacchaeus had sought to see the real Jesus. In seeking to see the real Jesus, he sees that Jesus is seeking him. That moved him in such a way that he was full of joy. Then out of the joy of Christ saying, "Zacchaeus, hurry, come down," filled with joy, he then went to Christ and said, "Half of what I have," and he's a rich man, like many of you, he's a rich man, "I give it away. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay it back four times." If, Zacchaeus? He knew he had. Christ knew he had. He was a changed man. He was a new man. He was a new man because Jesus, the man, had come to seek and to save him. And that's what was happening. Joy in him. Joy so full that he had to do something. And he did it. But look how the crowd responded. Verse 7. When they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." They were right. He had. The great flaw was that they didn't realize they too were sinners. They didn't realize that they too, as the Word of God tells us, had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They didn't see that they had any need in their life for a Savior. And so as the crowd grumbles, Zacchaeus essentially could care less. The movement of God, His Son, the Holy Spirit, was so great that Zacchaeus came to a place that simply said, "Half of what I own is yours. I give it away to the poor. And if I've defrauded anybody, four times I will pay it back." Let me ask you a question. Has the joy of your salvation so filled you that you are hurrying down, that you are hurrying towards Christ in repentance, that you want so much to turn towards Him and simply give your life away for the sake of Jesus? Has the joy of the good news that He has sought to save you, does it move you so much that you, even in this season, want to give so generously for the sake of this message of Christ coming to seek and save the lost? You want to give. Does it move you to say, "I want to see Christ so clearly that when He has taught me something through His Word, when His Spirit has convicted me, I hurry towards Him and know the loving embrace of His arms, and I give myself to Him"? If you profess faith in Christ and that joy is absent, over time, that joyless relationship with Christ becomes the stumbling block for so many who look to see the real Christ, but see the hypocrisy of people who say one thing with their mouth and their feet and their hands on Sunday morning, but then live a completely different way during the week. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is everything. Daily, the reminder of His mercy poured out for us. That's what motivates us to live for Christ as He's called us to live. It is not a message that should cause us to go away sad. If it makes you sad, you are still clinging to the riches and power in your own kingdom. You will be sad. But if He's delivered you from that, suddenly the joy will swell in you, and you will want to do all that you can by His grace, the grace of the Holy Spirit, to make known the joy of being in Christ. You're a new man. You're a new woman. You were dead. Now you're alive. You see, Christ came for this purpose. To seek. He came to seek and to save. And what did that require? Zacchaeus soon found out. For though he was the one who initially climbed into the tree to see Jesus, and he saw Jesus pursuing him, soon after Zacchaeus knew the news that Christ was the one who was up in the tree, hanging on nails, dying, or as we sung earlier, fighting for breath as he fights for me. Zacchaeus, a believer, began to see the power of what was necessary for that saving act to take place. Jesus coming to seek and save the lost. That's why the cross is central to Christmas. That's why the cross isn't something we wait until Easter to celebrate. It's something that we seek to understand every day, that Jesus Christ went there, hanging in the tree, lifted up, that we might have life, that we might be saved, that we might be redeemed, that we might be rescued now and for forever. Why did Christ come? He came to seek and to save the lost. Are you lost? Have you been lost? There's only one way to life. It's Jesus. Surrender yourself to him. Hurry. Father in heaven, there are bound to be men and women and children in our midst who have not yet professed faith in Christ. Perhaps even at this very moment, you would move them to pray the sinner's prayer, simply asking you for the gift of salvation. Lord, if that prayer is being offered now, hear it and save. It's why you came. For those who have known that reality before, would you fill us with such a joy, a new gained joy of what it means to be saved, so much so that we would re-examine once again the joy of what it means to be found in Christ, and that we would have so much joy in our hearts and soul of seeking after you in repentance, eager to give generously of ourselves for the sake of your glory and making known the good news of Jesus Christ, that you came, Jesus, to seek and save the lost. This we pray in your holy name. Amen.